Welcome to the Girl Next Door podcast. I'm Erica.
And I'm Kelsey. In every episode, we bring our different perspectives to honest, funny conversations that feel like chatting with good friends.
We started this show years ago when we were next door neighbors and still haven't run out of things to talk and laugh about yet. Today's episode is the first in a two-part series about family culture. We feel like this topic encompasses a lot, so we're breaking it up into a couple of episodes. This first one is all about quality time as a family, and then next week we'll have another one for you about dealing with hard stuff as a family. But before we get into the show, we have a bit of housekeeping for you. You might have noticed some sprucing up around here, and friends of the show over on Patreon just got a detailed bonus episode all about the state of the podcast, but we wanted to share a few important and exciting things here with everyone too. So number one, we are leveling up to 3 episodes a month. So Woo-hoo! We have some... Yes, we're very excited about this. We have some more time and bandwidth as our kids get older and chunks of time open up. So 3 episodes a month here on the regular podcast feed. And then if you've been thinking of joining Patreon, we're adding lots over there too. So in addition to the bonus content and discussion with every episode, you are going to get 2 live hangouts a year, 3 bonus episodes just for Patreon, and 2 in-depth book club episodes a year. We're bringing back the book club episodes, but they will be housed over on Patreon. So we really want to continue to grow that Patreon community and also just thank you for your continued support and give you more. So for just $5 a month, you get access to all of that bonus content. We appreciate you. You also get access to the lovely community over there. So we'd love to have you join us.
And since we are speaking of exciting changes, we'd like to invite you over to our newly renovated website, which is now live. So please come visit us at girlnextdoorpodcast.com to see the changes. We think you're going to love it. We worked with longtime listener of the show and friend of the show, web designer extraordinaire Amanda Hawkins, mm-hmm. to create the new site, and we are thrilled to share it with you.
I think it's going to be much easier to find yes. past content that you're looking for, which is a big thing that we're super excited about to, you know, look up. Like, I know we had an episode on this, and so go check that out over there.
Exactly.
All right. So with the ages and stages of your kids, what does quality time look like for you as a family, like as a whole family right now?
Okay. Our kids are currently 10, 9, and 3. So spanning quite an age gap there. And I'm realizing that really factors into what quality time can even look like for our family. So I liked reflecting on this because sometimes I do just in the day to day feel like it can feel hard to have family fun with everyone. Mm-hmm. But then when I sit down and look at it, it's like, oh, well, that's why. It's not that we're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
It's just that we're kind of at tricky age gap. But so sitting down for family dinner, which we try to do just about every night. Now, this is technically time that we are together, and I'm going to count it as quality time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always feel like the best quality time to me. It can be silly. We can sometimes try to get some conversations going and they're going nowhere. Mm-hmm. Maeve is sometimes up and out of her seat, but we still have that family ritual. And mm-hmm. I think as they get older, that will more and more be a time of, you know, maybe feeling like a deeper connection. I have been trying to bring back some read aloud time. Mm-hmm. That's something that has really fallen by the wayside with the boys reading on their own, you know, with Maeve having the attention span that she does. But it's something I've really been missing and keep on thinking around. And I have been trying to bring out a read aloud book even 2 or 3 times a week after dinner.
Okay.
To kind of bridge post-dinner, the boys tend to start to get pretty squirrely mm-hmm. around that time. And so that's been really nice. And so trying to incorporate that. I would say the best way that we find time together right now as a whole family is being outside together, just in different variations. Sometimes that's just outside in front on the street, passing the football with the boys, and Maeve is scootering around mm-hmm. or doing sidewalk chalk or something. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, maybe neighbor friends are coming in and out. One thing we've been doing lately are park picnic dinners.
Love this.
We will take simple dinners. And I mean, that could just be, you know, picnic lunchy kinds of things. Yeah. I mean, it could be crackers, cheese, bagels,
right,
what have you.
Right.
That counts as dinner. And we go to our neighborhood basketball park together. The boys will rollerblade, we'll bring basketballs. Chris has rollerblades now, mm-hmm. and the boys love to rollerblade with him. Maeve will scooter around. We might have a frisbee. It's just, we're outside. Everyone's being active mm-hmm. in their own way. It just feels really good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
And the last thing I want to say is that in thinking about all of this, what I can say is that it could be kind of hard to find quality time together that everyone's really enjoying equally, kind mm-hmm. of like I was saying. Like playing pretend for hours on end is very fun for Maeve, but like not mine and Chris's
right.
idea of best quality time. Or maybe I'll plan a family outing that I think is going to be fun and I get some rebellion mm-hmm. from my boys. So, you know, that's what can kind of feel challenging right now, but I'm just trying to keep in mind that it will improve with age.
Yeah.
And sort of like the just establishing those routines and almost like holding the space for yeah. that. I've kind of just expecting everyone to kind of age into
right.
it.
Right.
And over time that just kind of becomes part of your family culture.
Yeah. I will say this because I wanted to start mine with a disclaimer that kind of piggybacks on that idea. Like quality family time with kids does not mean that everybody's having the best time at the same time,
yeah,
necessarily. It's the togetherness is the point, right? And like, I think that sometimes we think, oh, it's because someone had a meltdown or because this is maybe not my favorite, that this is, doesn't count.
Yeah.
It only counts as quality time if we're all having fun at the exact same time. Now, sometimes it is truly disastrous and it's like, everyone go to your separate corners,
right.
please. This is not working.
This is a loss.
But otherwise, I've tried really hard to be like, no, this is what traveling with kids is. Mm-hmm. This is what playing a game with kids is. There's the quality comes from like the learning, the social interaction, the learning how to, you know, even express your emotions when you're upset. All of it counts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a lot of pressure on our particular generation of parents to make everything fun all the time.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be fun to count as quality.
Yes.
Quality could be a life lesson. Quality could be, you know, working through a really hard conversation. So I just want to keep that in mind. It does not mean everyone's going to be having a blast
yeah.
the entire time.
Such a great point. And I think I just want to say really quick, I think it's the accumulation of that time
yes.
over time.
Yes.
It's not any one instant
yes.
that is going to, you know, really deepen your family connection. I mean, sometimes, mm-hmm. but it's really that showing up and getting mm-hmm. and being together, even when it's not the funnest, not the best.
Yeah.
That
and
really
if you think about
difference.
Like your own quality, good memories you have of your own quality time as a kid growing up with your family, the meltdowns become a funny story eventually.
Right.
The, you know, or you don't even remember the little squabble, but you remember the overall good time had,
right.
you know, and in the moment that is very hard to remember when you're the frustrated parent, but I try to keep that in mind. Some things for us, games have always been a really great way for
yeah.
us because it has a point.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like
yes.
I have a hard time just, like you said, pretend play for hours on end and nothing makes sense. But I can play a game because it's got an ending.
Right.
It has a goal. Lately, we are super into Clue as a family. I introduced the girls to
Clue
and they love that. We also will do like family video game tournaments up
okay.
in the playroom. So they have a Nintendo Switch and we'll do like, I think they're very, you know, they're way better at the more modern games than we are. But then we're way better at like Mario Kart and
right.
stuff like that. So they kind of get a kick out of that. And we'll just, you know, trade off just, okay, now it's mom versus Julia mm-hmm. or whatever. And they love that. Camping is really
yeah.
good. Family time together. I think part of it is just, you're working on this kind of project together. You're setting everything up. There's a lot of cooperation needed. And then, like you said, you're all outside,
mm-hmm.
maybe enjoying it your own way. I'm reading a book in a hammock. You know, Julia's helping Jeremiah chop wood. Vanessa's riding her bike around the campground, whatever it is. But we're all together
mm-hmm.
in that. Yeah, eating together, just meals in general. We really try to have dinner when we can all together when we're all home at the same time. We like to have like at least once on a weekend kind of a family happy hour where we're, you know, just carving out that time and maybe we eat a little bit earlier so we have time for a game or something afterwards and Jeremiah and I will have a cocktail and the girls will have a soda or
yeah.
something. We always have like big weekend breakfasts that Jeremiah makes. That's kind of a tradition. And those are just great connection points. And like you said, even when someone doesn't like the dinner or even when it's the ritual that matters, right?
Right.
And then the pool in the summertime is like really good family time. And even that, there will be a kid sometimes sitting on the side of the pool acting like they hate it just because they need to assert their tween independence. And I'm like, okay, sit there and be hot.
Yep.
I'm going to be bloop, bloop, blooping around and we'll all be fine. So it's okay. All right. I have found always that it's very easy to treat my kids like a unit sometimes, really for the sake of convenience and for me because they literally came to me as a unit. Yes. So I have a hard time remembering sometimes. I never had just one kid. So it's really impactful though when you can spend that one-on-one time with an individual kid. So how are you prioritizing that right now and what's working well for that individual quality time?
Well, I really agree that you can really tend towards treating, you know, two kids, more kids as a unit when they're, especially when they're close in age, like your girls are, like my boys are. And so that is something that as they're getting older, we have just tried to be really thoughtful about. I have been just really, it's just very insightful, honestly, how my boys, their personalities just really shine differently when you're one-on-one with them versus when they're together. And when they're together, it's much more kind of about them being together, like them and then you, even if I might take them out, just them and me together to have like, you know, some quality time with
them. It's like them goofing around and you being the parent, kind of.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. But when they're one-on-one, I feel like that is when... I just feel that deeper connection with them. And so that does feel especially important to us as they're getting older. And so getting that one-on-one time with each of them is something Chris and I are trying to be very intentional about and making time for. So we'll plan times where one parent and one boy will go out for an afternoon, for an evening, something like that. It's not even necessarily happening on a monthly basis, but that probably is about what we're shooting for.
Okay.
And then, you know,
like
then,
ideally.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then it's happening at least somewhat regularly. Mm-hmm. I am also just trying to be conscious of finding every day one-on-one time with them. Yeah. Just like, hey, will you come with me to the grocery store? Hey, I need to go pick up books at the library. Because that totally counts.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, for sure.
That is definitely quality time. You never know what conversations might come up. Or again, if we didn't have a deep conversation on the way to the grocery store, that's fine. It's just about knowing that you do have that time and kind of keeping up that repertoire with them.
Totally.
But just the other week, I actually went out with Dash for an evening. I had kind of realized like, wow, I just really haven't spent time just with you. And I think that's another thing is that you're spending time with your kids like all the time.
Right.
But then as they get older, all of a sudden being like, wow, I haven't been just one-on-one with Dash in quite a while.
Yeah.
And so really wanting to make that time. So Dash and I went out and we had so much fun together. We played racquetball at the rec center, which is really fun. We had pizza. We played Yahtzee while we were eating pizza. We got ice cream. And then we went to a pool hall and played pool.
That's so fun.
Because he loves to play pool. Aww. And just during that time, you know, we can definitely deal with the tween attitudes, all that stuff. But he was just such a delightful companion.
Yeah.
And you just really can enter this other space where you're, depending on the age of your kid, you're not parenting. You're just getting to be yourself and joke around and just enjoy your kid for who they are.
Yeah. Because when you take things like sibling rivalry out of the equation or some sort of discomfort because they feel like they're performing for somebody, you know, even if it's the other parent sometimes, honestly, I just... think it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have actually found for my kids, it seems to almost work better when we just take advantage of those like natural day-to-day things. And, you know, like one kid is at sports and the other one is at home. And it's very easy, especially after a day of homeschooling, for me to be like, okay, you go do your thing. I'll go do mine. But inviting them to help me with dinner or even just like reading together in the same room, but then like Julia especially loves this. And then she will like want to share something funny in her book or whatever, casually inviting one of them to come along on errands, like you said, and then grabbing a treat. I've actually found the more planning and the more special we make it, the more it is likely to go south.
Oh, interesting.
Because expectations become a thing and almost like, there's almost like a self-sabotage that happens a little bit, I think, with my kids sometimes where it's they really want the time or we have a really great time, but then they, you know, we built it up to be this big thing, and it's a huge letdown when we come home and just like resume everyday life.
Yeah.
Where if you can just find those little pockets of time, not that we won't have special trips or special things, but when you find those little everyday pockets of time to spend quality time, it feels much more natural to go in and out of like individual time and family time. So I've actually found that that works way better. So you can still be really intentional on your end. But the more I've tried to be like, hey, on Fridays, we're going to make this, you know, it just, it ends up backfiring in a way that like is frustrating.
Yeah.
Versus me just saying, hey, at some point this week to myself, invite one of the girls to go with you to Target or whatever, you know. So.
And this is getting better for us as the boys are getting older, but we have also dealt quite a bit with then when one brother gets something special, the other brother has a big meltdown, even if it's like, well, you know, you're going to go out next Tuesday, whatever. And so that's a tricky dynamic too. And so I think that, you know, what you're kind of describing can also help with that. And just to anyone who's dealing with that, trying to do the one-on-one time, maybe just as your kids get older, it gets easier.
Yeah, it does for sure. Because they're just more mature to handle like delayed gratification and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so let's talk about like the general do's and don'ts of our family. Now, not in terms of rules, but just like things we do or are into as a family and things we are definitely not and that are not part of our family culture. What are some of your do's?
Okay, this is fun to think about. And I asked Chris too to get his input. Okay, being outside and being active for sure. That's just something that, you know, I think we try to do that a fair bit. And in terms of being active, we definitely just try to encourage the kids, you know, any kind of sport that they're into. We won't necessarily sign them up for a sport, but we just kind of try to have all the different sports equipment around so that they can just dabble in lots of things. And in terms of being active, you know, Chris and I both exercise really regularly, and we just try to make sure that that is something we
just lead by example on.
That we just like lead by example on. We'll just say like, oh, hey, I'm heading off to the gym. Like, hope you have a great day, whatever. So it just feels very normal, you know, things like that. Riding bikes is another one. We try to get all the kids on bikes fairly early and enjoy, you know, going on bike rides, sometimes figuring out like where we could go nearby all on our bikes. Reading books and library books specifically, for sure. Lots of books and book culture. Tried more recently doing family library trips, and I get some resistance from some kids, which as a book and library lover is quite hard.
Hurts your heart.
Yes, but I think it's one of those things that, you know, you just, you know, hold the space for and hope that they come around to it. Camping, that is something we have been kind of getting back into now that Maeve has joined us on a camping trip. And I really enjoy doing that. The kids are super into it. Traveling, I would say. We've been trying to take some bigger trips now that it feels feasible to take everyone on big road trips. And I'm just really excited as the kids get older to be able to take kind of more adventurous trips, farther away trips. I definitely hope to take everyone on an international trip or two before Dash heads off to college. So really enjoying planning all of that. And the last thing I will say, maybe this sounds a little bit different, but I feel like we're really trying to establish a family culture of being really open about bodies and sex.
Yeah.
That's really important to me and has been ever since before I became a parent. And I do feel like that's something we've done a really good job on. And it's just something that we're bringing up as just a continuing conversation.
Just a matter of fact, conversations.
In fact, the other day, I just finished a really great book about puberty called This Is So Awkward. And it was really great, just kind of as a great parenting reference book. And it just kind of reminded me about some topics I wanted to revisit. And so, for example, just over dinner, I just said, hey, do you guys remember the difference between gender identity and sexual orientation? You know, and they were kind of like, no, what? And so we just, you know, described that and then we moved on. And that's very much the way I want all of those topics to be in our family.
Like everything is fair game for conversation. Yeah, I will say homeschool has really impacted our family culture, which is one of the reasons we keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because there's just not this separation between, you know, even if you're super involved with your kids' education and really, you know, supportive of that, there's this like separate life they're living, you know, in terms of school. And with homeschool, I feel like it's really naturally creating this like learning is all around us. Yeah. Life is, you know, things will just seep into like family discussions that might not in another way, or I don't even know exactly how to describe it, but there's just this focus of like learning and books and in a really natural way that feels really good for our family culture. Yeah. We are a football family. We love to watch football together. We watch the Super Bowl and had great snacks, and we'll have people over to watch football sometimes. We just love that. All the girls love to watch it too. We are very structured, I would say. And I'm just realizing how that's not necessarily, even everyone has their rules, right? But like, I think we are a very structured family. And I think all of us, just our personalities, the way we've kind of evolved as a family over time, have figured out that that's how we operate best, really all of us. And so some might think we're a little too structured, but I think that it works really well for us. And I think that the girls have incorporated that for themselves. They have all their little ways of like, you know, organizing their room, and it just works. And I think we all feel better when we operate that way. I will say, similar to you, like just a culture of honesty, of talking about hard things or things that have maybe been hard when they don't need to be, like sex and bodies and things like that, that are just part of nature and our humanity, you know? And just being really, I think because our kids are adopted also, there is, there's this necessity to be way more honest with them earlier about some maybe tough conversations than we would have to be, because it's part of their story, you know?
Right.
And so that has just opened up where they know, I think they can ask us anything. And I don't know, we've just been really, I've always told them, like, I'm going to give you the honest answer. Maybe not all the information, but I'm going to give you an honest answer that you need for your age right now, you know? And then humor. Like, we're very sarcastic. We are very, I don't know, we just laugh a lot as a family, and those are the times that feel really good. Like, we've captured some magic here, you know? I love that.
I would say that goes for us as well, and I'm loving once the kids, that the boys are getting to that age where they can start to have some of that sarcastic humor. And lately, even Maeve is like getting in, even when she doesn't fully understand,
and then it's funny,
but she really wants to be in on the joke. And that is just very fun.
That's cute. Okay. How about some things that you are decidedly not into as a family?
Okay. I'm curious to hear what you have to say. I feel like it's almost harder to think of the things you're not into. You almost have to hear what other people are into. But one that you guys are super into that we are not is watching sports.
That
has
not been
part of our family culture. Not that I wouldn't be open if someone becomes very passionate about it. And I have definitely at times in my life enjoyed, you know, watching a game when it's on, whatever. But that has kind of fallen by the wayside. And we really don't watch television. We do have a TV now, and we will do occasional family movie nights, but it's really not something that is part of our everyday and even like weekly family culture at this point. Also, having everyone involved in lots of activities and sports, and just because I'm starting to more and more see families that just
their
kids,
really do.
Their kids are maybe in multiple sports and whatnot. And so far, just in our family and our family culture, we really value having unstructured time.
Yes.
And I just really see that my kids also love that. And I love giving that to them while they're very young. I know that they will get busier as they get older and as they have more passions. I'm happy for them to get busier if it's in service of that. But I have really loved not being too
filling up that schedule so
far. And then I would say the last one, maybe kind of like trying new foods, new restaurants. We don't go out to eat very much, but part of that is just because it is not worth it right now for my children. I think I want that to be more part of our family culture. I mean, especially trying new foods, like even that I make, the children are not very much on board with that, as much to my chagrin. But I hope that is something that they will grow into, and that maybe one day that will move into the we are into it
column. Like you have fun trying sushi together or whatever. Okay, for me, I second your notion on super busy schedules. We are very structured in terms of like a routine for the day and stuff like that, but we do not fill up every hour. We have a lot of unstructured time as part of our structure, if that makes sense.
Yes,
like really protected time. I have said the kids may be in one sport and one other activity for now. And even really ideally, their other activity should fit within the school week, because yes, we can do that and not be like another evening or weekend commitment. Yeah, we just have realized we are not the family that wants to run around all weekend long, or, and it doesn't, we all need downtime. Mm-hmm. A few of us are introverted, even the ones that aren't, like their alone time, mm-hmm, in a different way. And so I just feel like that's what we need. We also, I grew up, you know, my dad is a soccer coach. He has been for years and years. He's a varsity soccer coach in high schools, and he coached all of my siblings except me. So we grew up as a soccer family.
Gotcha.
We tried it with the girls, and it was not good for our family culture. I think part of it is we live in Arizona, so yes, it's so hot.
It's rough.
And you really have to only do like the winter season, but then you're not, you know, doing it regularly enough. And it just, it was not, the girls did not enjoy the sport. It was not, you know, it's a great, it's mostly running, so it's a great easy intro sport for kids, but it was not a good one for us. So we are not a soccer family. We do not enjoy kid birthday parties.
Okay.
Kind of any sort. Okay. Like, we don't want to go to kids' birthday parties. We don't want to have birthday parties for our own kids. They don't like it. Like, they don't like being the center of attention that way. We have thrown them a couple birthday parties before, and it just ends up being like prime real estate for a meltdown or overstimulation, or I don't know. They would much rather do something as a family at this age, at least, or with like, you know, one or two friends. Mm-hmm. They don't love that. I will say it is very nice as kids get older and you can just drop them off at kid birthday, yeah, parties. So we have been doing more of that. Mm-hmm. If there's one, you know, a friend that they really want to go to, but we can just drop them off and pick them up.
Right.
We are good. But otherwise, we're not a fan. And then we don't do sleepovers yet.
Oh,
and
okay.
I think that may change too. And really, there, it hasn't come up that much. I think a lot of families are starting to feel this way, especially in the younger years, that, mm-hmm, maybe that's, you know, for your best friend when you're older and 16 or something. But it, not a lot of good comes out of young kids sleepovers. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of, as a general rule, don't do them. And, mm-hmm, our kids don't really, haven't really asked or want to do them either. So
yeah,
this seems to work for us. All right. And over on Patreon, we're continuing this conversation with friends of the show about what role quality time as a couple plays in your family culture. How do you prioritize it? Why it's important? What does it look like in this stage for you? So join us over there. We will be answering the question over there, and we would love to hear your answers to the question or any other general comments about the episode. And now let's do some latelys, where we each share what's going on lately. A funny story, something we're loving, recent win or fail. What is your lately?
I want to share my recent win. This is just yesterday when we were recording. I took my first day off.
Yes.
On leap day.
This is so good. You guys have to understand, Kelsey is the most disciplined human. In fact, I was trying to text her today about something because my internet wasn't working. I was like, can I come over and use your internet? And I'm like, oh, but she's so good about having her notification silent. She didn't get the notification. She's so disciplined in her work days. This is a big deal.
So this is one of my 2024 goals that I think I talked about. I'm planning to take 3 days completely off, and just being a very disciplined person, I kind of feel like I need to do that for myself, like, and
schedule it.
Yes. And so I took leap day off, and it was great. And I feel like I got some kind of insights, because here's what was happening. So I always take my birthday day off, mm-hmm, but being near Christmas, the kids are off of school, Chris is off of work. So it kind of feels a little easier to say like, hey, I'm going to peace out in the morning,
yeah,
and you won't see me till the late afternoon,
yeah,
you know? And Chris is like, great, I've got it. Well, yesterday there was school, Chris had work, one of the kids had to be picked up a little bit early for an appointment. It kind of felt like a bigger ask, mm-hmm, you know? And, mm-hmm, I was kind of feeling that, yeah, a little bit like, ooh. And Chris never made me feel anything other than like, great, have your, yeah, day. But, yeah, I was kind of feeling that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think too, I was just feeling like, oh, like, what am I going to fill the day with? Is it going to be really that recharging? Because things have felt busy lately, mm-hmm, some parenting challenges. But let me tell you, so worth it.
Good.
And it just, it showed me that no matter, even if it feels like it takes some effort to make it happen,
yeah,
or you're not totally sure how you're going to spend the day, what a gift,
yeah,
to have that time. Mm-hmm.
Especially as an introvert who just, yes, needs some alone time.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And like, I spend my work days at home, really very happily working on my own work. It's, mm-hmm, not like my days otherwise are, right, so taxing or draining,
right,
but it really does feel different when you're just out doing you know, whatever your mm-hmm. heart desires. And it was just lovely. So let me also give you a little rundown of my day.
Yes, please do. I'm like, I need to do this because as homeschool, this can be hard too.
Yes.
Because I can be like, well, no, they need to be entertained either way. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Yeah. So I went to a little bit of a later Orange Theory class that's so perfectly timed because I see the kids in the morning. I can kind of help, but then I get to skip school drop off.
Ooh, perfect.
It's really nice.
Perfect.
I took a rinse off shower at Orange Theory, went right over to my favorite coffee shop, got myself some breakfast coffee.
Yeah.
I got the new Book Page magazine from the library.
I paged through it,
added books that I want to read to my Goodreads list. It was
so
lovely. I snagged a great priced mini facial on Groupon.
Ooh.
Here's a tip for you that I thought about ahead of my leap day off. And I was kind of like, ooh, maybe I could find a great deal. So I did. So I went for a little mini facial.
Love this for you.
I went and spent like a leisurely hour or so at the library mm-hmm. just browsing. Mm-hmm. Personally, I love to go browse in the nonfiction section and then usually end up at the cookbooks.
Okay.
And just love to take any enticing cookbooks off the shelves, kind of go through those, checked a couple out. And then I took myself out to lunch. I sat outside. The weather was perfect. And just had a leisurely, delicious lunch. Got dessert and coffee.
Yeah, you did.
And it was glorious.
I love this for you so much. What time did you come home?
And I still was home at 3 because Dash had soccer practice. I kind of was like, you know, I want to help with the evening
rigmarole. But you still had that whole day to yourself.
It was so wonderful. My next one is happening in the summer for my half birthday, our half birthday.
Yeah.
So maybe put that on your calendar.
I think I might need to join you for that one. Like do our, you know, also be having a day off
that
day. I like that so much.
Yeah. So anyway, highly recommend. And just, I guess I just want to say too, it's not that a day off just like comes so easily.
No.
It is going to take some effort, but it is so worth it.
Well, and I think we've always talked about that in terms of our retreat, in terms of creative work, in terms of like friend time, you know, our book club trip or girls trip. And sometimes you almost feel like you have to have other people wanting you to go do something to take that time off, but it can just be for you.
Oh, yes.
It can just be for you.
Definitely.
Okay, I had pretty much the opposite experience
of
you this week.
Oh,
and
no.
I've been texting you about this, but let's share with our listeners, shall we?
We shall.
I want you friends to know how my week has gone.
Oh, man.
So my husband has had lower back issues for a while, but he really did something major and has like intense sciatic nerve pain to the point where he could not get out of bed. Like it was a situation. So Saturday night, the girls were snuffly kind of, and then he is yelling out in pain.
Oh.
As that's happening, my child comes in, knocks at my door at 11:30 p.m. and says she threw up all over her bed.
No, I didn't know that one of the girls puked.
And my kids are not pukers.
That's right.
I literally never had to clean up kid puke in the middle of the night.
Oh.
But that's the time she chose to do that because she was like stuffy and congested and then the NyQuil.
Yes.
And I think it just didn't work out good. So I literally packaged up her
pad. You just dragged the bed in the backyard and burned it.
I just basically, like, she had a waterproof mattress pad on there anyways, which pro mom tip.
Oh, yes.
Always do that. And I just wrapped everything up in it and threw it directly away. I am not siphoning puke off of that. What are you doing otherwise? Out there with a hose in the backyard at 11:30 p.m.? Absolutely not. Goodbye. And she's like, my robe was in there. I'm like, nope. I'll get you a new one.
It's gone now.
It's gone. Oh, and to be fair, it only was on her fitted sheet and her like robe and a stuffed animal that she had there, but it wasn't super precious to her. She managed to avoid like the comforter and all that. And so I was like,
so
here we
funny.
Go.
This tracks so much with the water bottle thrown out the car window.
I'm like, it's gone
now.
It's say goodbye. So that got thrown away. But this is all happening while my husband literally cannot get to the bathroom. Like, I'm almost having to bring him a bottle to pee in. That's how bad
gosh.
It is. All this is happening at the same time. The other child is very helpful the following day, but then succumbs to the sickness herself the next day. So I am the last one standing.
Oh, my gosh.
Literally and figuratively, but like for real. And they had an awful like head cold something, like they were they didn't have a fever, but they were out like in bed all day, not even arguing with me about it, which means, you know, they're sick, you know. So that was for a couple of days. We had a lot of running to Walgreens about 5 times for a pain pill. Then my husband started throwing up from the pain pill. It was friends,
It was too much.
It's been too much. It's been too much this week. Our internet stopped working.
This is just like...
Our coffee maker stopped working this
morning.
Not
okay.
I think that can be fixed, but still, it was like the minute, you know, I made myself a cup. I did get a cup, and then it did that. And I looked at Jeremiah, and I was like, what does this mean? He's like, oh, God. Just... It's a whole thing.
I told you, if the internet goes out and the coffee is down, yeah,
burn it
the
down.
House is basically condemned at this point.
Also, my parents are coming to visit this week.
Oh my gosh.
And I told them the situation because they were coming in, and, you know, in the heat of all this. And I said, you know, I don't know if you want to postpone it or what you want to do. Like, we're welcome to have you, but if there's a high chance you could get sick. And also, I don't know if Jeremiah's pain is going to be under control by then. So they actually very graciously rented a hotel room and a car and stayed for a couple days on their own. And now they're at the house, which is nice because they can help out with things. And I think we're on the mend, but I'm telling you right now, mom is done.
You mom have is lived done. A week.
I sure have.
It's very impressive that you're here right now. I'm so glad your mom immunity upright. Just stuck it
and
out.
And I'm telling you, I do not usually have great mom immunity.
I know.
But I think my body was like, absolutely not. You need to boss up because we cannot handle this right now with you being down. So
oh my gosh.
I'll probably get sick like a week from now and just crash. But so far, so good.
Okay. Well, I hope things keep looking up for you. It's too much. That's too much.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. As always, the show notes for this episode with links for everything we talked about are at our brand new website, girlnextdoorpodcast.com. Come hang out with us over on Instagram. Also, we are Hi Girls Next Door. We would love to hear what you think. And then we love to get your emails at higirlsnextdoor@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for dropping in. Until next time, friends, remember, togetherness is the point. Got a lot of emotion.
I'm literally hot now. Got myself all worked up.
I know.
Sweaty. I keep hitting my microphone. I have got to stop doing that.